columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive with a Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Today should have been opening day for Major League Baseball, but of course, we have all the issues that we're dealing with in the world, so it isn't. Tyler, when baseball comes back, what kind of format do you think would make the most sense in starting their season? I bring up baseball because it's pretty obvious that basketball and hockey, if they choose to have some sort of championship, they're already deep into their season.
Yeah.
But what would you do if you were baseball?
Well, you got a couple options. You can try to get more games in via doubleheaders, or you can shorten the season. That's really what it comes down to. For me, I would figure out as a player's union, you always want to capitalize on the most revenue you possibly can and keep that going, right? So you want as many games as you can. But if doubleheaders are getting in the way, then I would say just shorten the season if you're not getting any financial benefit from having doubleheaders.
Would you be okay with 7-inning doubleheaders?
Yeah, for sure I would, man. Like, it's fun. You know what? Like shorten it up. We all like quicker the better, no matter what, right? 7 games, you're going to have plenty of strategy. It's actually going to improve the quality of play to some degree because you can keep your best pitchers on the field at all times, right? So, for sure I would like that.
Yeah, I would like it too. And then I think they should consider a playoff style like the NCAA tournament where perhaps you play it out. There's 30 teams in Major League Baseball, Tyler. So perhaps 16 make it. 14 just don't. And then from those 16 teams, you would have 4 regions. And it would be a double elimination tournament. And then you just kind of go from there. And the way the NCAA does it, it's a double elimination tournament. So it would get it down to, you know, half the teams. You'd be down to 8 teams. And perhaps then you have a super regional where, you know, it's best 2 out of 3, so there's, you know, another playoff system. And then you take the final 4 teams, and they play in some sort of double elimination format or qualifying rounds leading to reseeding to double elimination. That's how the College World Series goes.
Yeah.
So you can actually lose a couple of times in the process of the College World Series, Tyler, and still win the national championship. It's not like basketball where it's just, you know, one and done. I think there's creative solutions for them out there, and I hope they embrace that. And I can't wait to have baseball back. Bring it, Kevin.
Okay, well, there's been a lot of conversation here of late about what's going to happen with the draft. Is it going to go forward on the 23rd or not of April? And that decision has been made by Roger Goodell and the committee. He said, as you know, we have been reviewing and addressing all aspects of our offseason operations, including the draft, in light of current public health conditions. Earlier today, the CEC discussed the issues relating to the draft. The committee was unanimous and unequivocal that the draft should go forward as scheduled on April 23rd through the 25th. Okay, we are going to have the draft. I believe for the world, this is a great thing. You know, we all need a distraction from things that are going on. I saw the football reasons why they would want it to be moved back. But as an American, this is a good thing for us to have a distraction like this, D-back.
Yeah, and I saw the commissioner's press conference, and he said, well, there's no guarantee that anything's going to change in a couple weeks. There's no date out there, Tyler, that guarantees things will be different. So if things aren't going to, if there's no guarantee, for example, there's no guarantee in 2 or 3 weeks we'd be able to bring families in and the players in and make it a bigger deal. That's not going to change. So GMs, you know, suck it up. Do whatever you have to do to get ready. We're moving forward. And one of the lines that he put in there, he did acknowledge that this is a good thing for the fans. And you know what, Tyler? He's right. This is something, I mean, as football fans, man, I tell you what, aside from actually playing games, and maybe even better than playing games, I love the draft. The I love free agency too.
Well, but man, simmer down. Not better than the games.
Sometimes the games can be. I don't know, man.
Oh, you are.
I don't know, dude.
You're not even a fan. You're not even a football fan. You just like the drama.
I'm a flame to the moth, my friend. You know, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we know.
Okay. So, hey, you had a different viewpoint on this, reasonably. I understood where you were coming from. Do you feel differently about it today?
Oh, I mean, I feel great as a fan. This is fantastic. I think that, you know, I heard Mark Schlereth talking about this, that the NFL was getting accused of being a little bit tone deaf on the draft here. Well, okay, are they really being tone deaf? We all need something good going on in our life, and I think it's fantastic. We need the distraction. We're all going to be glued to the television. Ratings are going to be through the roof. Yes, this is a good thing.
All right, Ray and Kevin. I got to give some props to Fanatics. Now, the owner of Fanatics also owns the Sixers and the New Jersey Devils. It's a relatively young dude. So good for him, Michael Rubin. And the story of Fanatics is great if you want to go into a deep dive of how this guy made up all of his money and bought pro teams. They do a lot of things, but essentially they're a clothing company. Well, Tyler, they have converted their warehouse, and instead of making Rockies jerseys or Phillies jerseys, they're making gowns and masks. So you have like pinstripe gowns and masks. And I am just so blown away by this effort. My question to you is, do you think we'll see Nike, Under Armour, Reebok, Adidas sort of embrace this and make a move in the same direction?
Depends on how far we go. You know, how long is this going on? I think that giant corporations like that, it's always about the bottom line, right? And if you realize that you're not going to be making money at a given point, well, maybe you'll turn your merchandise into something that could help other people. I wish that it wasn't always that way, but yeah, businesses are still businesses, you know?
Well, I'm hoping, and boy, he's saying, this Rubin guy is saying, we can make millions of these things. And he changed things like that in his manufacturing plant. And they're going to start with contributing to their areas near the plant, which is near Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, which makes perfect sense to me. But I just know that there's manufacturing plants all over the country. And what a amazing thing and a great thing. And I think we'll see more stories like this of people coming together. And what a great example out of the sports world. Great, Kevin.
Just about the only thing in the world of sports that has not been canceled right now is the NFL offseason. Well, I think we're all assuming that it's going to be canceled, but nobody from the NFL is really talking about it. Is it going to happen at all?
Yeah.
Okay. That's true. It's not going to happen. What does this mean for the NFL in the big picture? And more specifically, what does it mean for the Broncos?
Well, it'll be like, we've actually kind of been through this, though, with the lockout year. It sucked. It, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, I like OTAs and the mini camps and talking to the fellas. It's a more relaxed time, and you get a sense of how everything's coming together. And I think for the Broncos, it is tricky because they're replacing their offensive coordinator. So, boy, you got a lot of catching up to do on the fly. You know, it'll be interesting, Tyler. You know what they do is they allow teams that have a new coach to get going a couple of days early. Do you think, well, let me ask you this. Let me answer your question with a question. Do you think because there aren't OTAs in the mandatory minicamp, they may adjust training camp to move it up earlier if they possibly can?
Oh, you know what? That's a great idea. And I bet the answer is yes.
By the way, it would be different.
You wouldn't have fully padded practices
and
everything.
That's where I was going.
That makes a ton of sense. I haven't heard anybody bring that up. That's probably the best idea you've ever had. Why wouldn't they do that? You know, bring them in a couple weeks early, let them go through practices where you're just wearing your little padded vest. That's what you wear in OTAs. Have it much more relaxed and, quite frankly, early. You could even have the time frame that you're in the building be more relaxed as well. Try to get them out a little bit earlier so that they don't get totally burnt out before training camp. But I think that's a really good idea, D-Mac. You know what else this is going to do, though?
What's that?
This is going to really shine a light on the best coaches in the NFL. And I'm talking about positional coaches. Because when you're going through the offseason, and what's going to happen is all these players and coaches, they're going to end up having Zoom conferences just like my kids are in school, right? And it's going to be very easy for bad teachers to lose control over their classroom, right? But, like, I was watching my son's teacher this morning, and she was just in command. Absolutely. I mean, seriously.
Do I give her a shout-out?
Yeah. Mrs. Ledford, she was just in command. She was doing a great job. She was letting the kids ask questions. And the same thing's going to happen in the NFL. The best coaches are going to learn how to teach via remote. And good teachers, guess what? They can find a way to get their message across no matter what the medium is.
And that's why you should watch Cheer on Netflix.
Hey, you got me in for Tiger King, man.
All right, true.
Yeah, come on.
I'm good on that. Okay, Ring and Kevin, go ahead. ESPN's done something kind of interesting this week. They're re-airing O.J. Made in America, the documentary, one of the documentaries about O.J. Simpson. kind of an interesting decision, Tyler, for them, of all the documentaries out there. You know, this is the company that brought you 30 for 30, right? I mean, there's a lot to choose from. And they're leading with O.J. Made in America. First of all, did O.J., do you think he did it? And I do wonder if people knowing more about science now than we all did back then may have a change of opinion on good old O.J. after watching, you know, this documentary. What do you think about the decision to put this on the air?
Are there people in the world that need their mind changed on him?
Yeah, there are, believe it or not.
There are people in this world that don't think he did it.
They exist.
I don't know about that.
You're obviously not one of them.
I'm not sure, D-Mag. I'm not sure they're out there. I mean, I don't know how what you would need at this point.
Well, I didn't know what you needed back then.
I don't know. As it unfolds in real time, I mean, I think it's different.
Yeah, what do you think about ESPN putting it on the air, too? What do you think about that?
I don't know, dude. I guess there's not a lot going on right now. You know that OJ is always going to give you ratings.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you're right about that. OJ is always going to give you ratings.
Right?
It's unbelievable to this day. All these years later, OJ is always going to get your ratings. Okay, bring it, Kevin.
Broncos had a pretty good offseason, right, D-Mac?
I thought they had a great offseason.
Yeah, addressed some needs. They got a little luxury pick in there as well, in my opinion. They did pretty well over the offseason. Well, not according to Vegas. According to Vegas, they are a worse football team than they were when free agency began. They had the Broncos over-under before free agency at 8. Now, according to betonline.ag, they've got Vegas. The Vegas has them at 7.5 for the over-under. Are you surprised to hear that the Broncos are predicted to win less games now?
Yes and no. Yes, because I think they've improved themselves and they're a better team. No, because I've seen this national reaction to the Melvin Gordon thing, and I think it's way off base. So, I mean, what were we saying for the Broncos? We said, you know, I was getting optimistic about 10-6, and then you kind of talked to me.
I called it 7-9,
and so I kind of settled in at 8-8. Right? We said that,
but this was a while ago. I feel differently now.
I'm going to keep them at 8-8. I'm going to say, because I said earlier, it's not really 2020. It'll be 2021 if they keep going down this path, which I find good. So I'll keep it at 8-8. And then in 2021, it wouldn't be 10-6. It would be 10-7. because we get an extra game theoretically in 2021. So where do you see them now if you're changing a little bit?
Well, I see them as an 8-8, 9-7 type of team.
Well,
it depends on how the ball bounces, man. I mean,
but you realize 9-7 this year could get you in the playoffs because two extra teams are going.
I get it. If you want me to choose, I'll choose 8-8. That's the one I'll choose. But I'll say this, man. You're one offensive tackle away from being a 10-win team.
Oh, there it is. So go get him.
Go get Trent Williams, and you're in the playoffs.
Go get him.
I don't know. I don't even know what the discussion is. He's coming down on his price right now, and it's probably going to come down even more. The guy flat out wants out of Washington. Washington at some point is going to just cave. They're going to get rid of him. Be the team that goes against
him. You know, the only reason I can see right now that they weren't going to go get him is they really do want to draft a tackle in the first round.
Why? Why? I mean, hold on. If you could get Trent Williams for 4 to 5 really good years, or you could take your chances on an offensive tackle that if you hit, you can get him for 8 or 9 years.
But if you miss,
like most of them do, you just got an average or bust tackle.
Yeah, but don't forget, if you hit, you get him at a very low price for 4 or 5 years before you have to pay him the big money of Trent Williams so you can build other places. And if you really hit with Drew Lock, because he was taken in the second round, not the first round, you got to make your decision up after 2 years with Drew Lock.
Dude, 4 to 5 years is an eternity in the NFL. You give me 4 to 5 years of really good football at left tackle position, and I know you can get that out of Trent Williams.
Well, I'm being the devil's advocate here because obviously the way Elway's done things in the past, getting Trent Williams seems like the ultimate no-brainer.
No, but it's not even that. That's not even just like a win this season thing. 4 to 5 years is a long time.
I don't know if he has 4 or 5 years, dude.
Yes, he does.
He's going to be 33 this year.
Yeah, have you seen Jason Peters? Have you? Come on. Andrew Whitworth.
Whitworth, yeah.
These guys can do it.
You're promising me Trent Williams does not have an injury issue.
He's got a lot of injuries, but they're not going to stop him.
Man, you love your guy, Trent Williams. All right, ring it, Kevin. Wrap it up. Hey, let me read you something, Tyler, because we're talking about this free agency grades. This is from Pro Football Focus, and it was a great article. It was lengthy. They went through all the teams' best and worst moves in free agency. So let me read this to you. Denver Broncos, best move. Almost everything. Denver had a near flawless free agency. We'll dive into what prevented them from a perfect week in our eyes below. But for now, talk about the numerous great decisions. And they talk about Justin Simmons. Wasn't that fantastic? AJ Boye. Wasn't that fantastic? Jarrell Casey has ranked among the 25 highest graded interior defensive linemen in each of the last 5 years. Graham Glasgow shown he can play anywhere on the interior at a high level, right? Like, they're just praising things left and right.
They're crushing it.
Right. And you know what's interesting is they're not even giving them credit for moves like not offering Derek Wolfe anything, and nobody's offering Derek Wolfe anything right now. Shelby Harris, same sort of thing. Chris Harris getting a lower deal than he could have got if he stayed with the Broncos, right? It's the things that those are part of free agency too.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, free agency, it's addition and subtraction, man. And did you add more than you lost? Did you get more value than you lost?
Right, and they don't even bring up the punter, which was an upgrade.
I don't know that we have more value like entirely right now.
Well, then they go the worst move and signing Melvin Gordon to a 2-year, $16 million deal with 13.5 guaranteed. They say Denver actually already had one of the top backs in the league in Philip Lindsay, and he's on the books for under $1 million for 2020. Instead of rolling with Lindsay and using their remaining cap space on perhaps a wide receiver, they decided to pay Melvin Gordon $8 million per year over the next two. Since Lindsay emerged onto the scene in 2018, he's recorded a higher Pro Football Focus overall grade than Melvin Gordon and has produced the exact PFF war figure, win against replacement. There is no slight to Gordon as an athlete, but then again, that's too much money to hand out to a running back who hasn't even outproduced your previous running back. So again, This is another national publication. This is chock full of opinion. Usually Pro Football Focus is all about the numbers, and there are some numbers there, but there's a lot of opinion there, meaning, hey, it's too much money. Who says? Not your money. And it says also you should have considered going with a wide receiver, but it does not take into consideration Pat Shurmur and what he wants to do.
You know, Melvin Gordon's going to be all about opinion, though, that because the stats, if you're really going to use the numbers to make your argument, it would be a very, like, impossible argument to argue that Melvin Gordon, on paper, what he produced last year would be more valuable to this team than what Philip Lindsay is. The numbers would tell you that Philip Lindsay is more valuable. This is strictly an opinion, though, D-Mac. This is an opinion by Pat Shurmur that Melvin Gordon is more valuable, and you can't really prove it by the stats. You just right. look at the player and how he's going to fit into the offense.
To me, it's a little hypocritical to say they're perfect in free agency, except for this. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, that's true. Your biggest free agency signing, well, not your biggest, Graham Glasgow, but a ridiculous number, 2 years, $16 million for a running back. Of course that's a huge part of the equation.
Yeah, and I still go back to the context of when it happened in free agency. It wasn't the first move, Tyler. It was really the last big move. You know, and then you got a punter for, you know, relative pocket change. This to the way this went, the order in which things went, to me, makes a big deal. The fact that you did address offensive line right off the bat, defensive line second. Actually, you can even go back, right? Because Boye happened before free agency started, but that's tied into free agency. So corner, offensive line, D-line, offense. And yeah, they just... I can't wait to see what they actually do in the draft and what they have in plan for wide receiver. I don't think they made a mistake, Tyler. Did you really want to spend $10 million? Would that have been better? $20 million to Robbie Anderson than the money to Melvin Gordon?
Well, I tell you what, your point on the timing of it all, you're having a good day, man. First, you had your best idea of your life. I mean, you had your best idea ever on just moving training camp up an additional 2 weeks. You killed it on that one. The timing of Melvin Gordon is what really makes the difference here. And national writers are never going to get a feel for that, right? Because you never have a great feel for every team's cap. You never have a great feel for the order that they came in. There's just too many bodies. There's too many numbers. You're not going to get it all. But the timing of it does make it feel different. It was your funny money. It was the money you had left right. over. And if you're going to go gamble on something, okay, here you go.
Well, I appreciate your complimentary words on a good day.
You had a great day, man. I'm proud of you.
Unfortunately, I pale in comparison to you when, in reference to Tiger King, only watching 15 minutes, you said it was the last chance you of zookeepers. And that should be a T-shirt and a bumper sticker and a country album.
Good.
And
I just
all
hope
that.
I get paid for it.
Last chance you of zookeepers. That is the... If that's not the funniest thing you've ever said.
It's exactly what it is, dude.
Oh, there ain't no doubt about it.
Look at all those people.
Hey, today is an anniversary of another... today's an anniversary of something that changed the sport forever. How about that? That doesn't come along every now and then. We'll tell you what it is next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
You know, Tyler, in light of everything that's going on, one of the interesting things is we're paying attention to sports history, like when things happened on a certain date, probably a little bit more, and we've talked quite a bit about opening day, but on this date in 1979, Magic Johnson and Michigan State beat Larry Bird and Indiana State 75-64. Now, I know you weren't even born yet, so maybe I should just go there. Like, What are your recollections at all, because you're in your mid-30s, about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird?
Well, none in college, but I've got a lot of memories of the NBA, for sure. I mean, just growing up, man, I mean, that was like the original rivalry. That was probably the greatest rivalry the world had ever seen up to that moment. You know, we've had some cool ones since, but it arguably is still the greatest of all time.
Well, think about the time, and you know, I was just 79, what was I, 10 years old, something like that, about to be 10. I think I was just beginning to be a sports fan. You know what I mean? Like, you just sort of remember.
Well, yeah, starting to realize what things really meant, right?
Yeah, and I do remember. Now, I couldn't tell you anything about Michigan State or Indiana State aside from, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And I didn't know the status of the NBA in the 70s. I wasn't aware of things like that. I just knew that this was a big game, and I knew who the guys were. Now, I was growing up in the Boston area, so we didn't know at the time that the Celtics were going to get Larry Bird. But it still felt, even then, you sort of took one side or another. So, you know, just being a blonde kid, I guess I went for Larry Bird, but I just love basketball. And it just was a time that I'll just never forget. I just didn't realize at the time, and this is interesting in sports, what are the moments that change a sport forever? Like, how would we know watching this game or being aware of these two guys in college, it would change the NBA forever? You have to go back and look at what the NBA was. And I don't know if you've ever gone and seen some documentaries about the NBA in the 70s. Dude, it was ugly. I mean, people weren't paying attention. The championship was tape delayed. Everything was like fights. There was a merger with the ABA. It really looked like the Flint Tropics in the NBA, Tyler.
When did the three-point line go in?
That's a good question. I don't think it was in the – I think it was in the 80s, not the 70s.
Okay.
So, but everybody in the country knew – Magic Johnson and Larry Bird in college because you stayed in college.
Right.
You didn't go right to the pros, and they changed everything up. So it went from, I think it's because of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird that you eventually got Michael Jordan, and you could definitely make the argument Michael Jordan surpassed both of those guys, right?
Well,
and made the NBA what it is.
Yeah, you know, it was a cool moment because you had players that had a little bit of contrasting playing styles as well. They were like the ultimate rivals of all time, you know? And looking back on the commercials and the games of horse and everything else that all those guys did, including MJ, that was like the golden era of my personal childhood. And it's funny because that was really before my childhood, but all their legend carried on by the time I was growing up. You know, their legend, their aura, and their presence on television, it was stronger than most NBA players even as I was growing up. Yeah, you know, I'm sure it inspired a lot of young players to come out and dedicate their life to the game of basketball.
Well, who, when you were growing up, who do you remember as a rivalry? Like, I can't miss this. It's this guy against this guy.
Boy,
who was that for you?
In basketball in particular?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I guess just thinking about... I don't know. What you got, man? What you got?
Well, who's your first basketball guy? Like, who did you love? You played basketball.
Man, I love Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman. Not just the fact that he was the bad boy, not just the hair, all of it. That was all a part of it. I'm not going to lie. It was fun to watch it as a young kid. But just the way that you saw a guy play a game without ever scoring points and being like the ultimate team player.
Right.
That was my original idol in basketball.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Were you a Dennis Rodman Pistons guy or Spurs guy or...
Man.
Gosh, where else did we go?
Well, Bulls.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is that when you... That makes sense. That's probably when you picked
Bulls.
Up, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was the Chicago Bulls. That's what it was, you know?
Yeah. Well, geez, I'm showing my age, obviously. But, I go back to those Pistons teams, you know, when they were... You know, it was the Celtics-Lakers, right? But then it was the Pistons were in there as well for a couple of years. And then the Bulls kind of came in. I love Dennis Rodman, too. I always loved this game. I mean, who doesn't love that game, right? Somebody who's scrappy and...
Did you watch his 30 for 30?
I did watch his 30 for 30.
Fascinating stuff, wasn't it?
Boy.
It was sad. It was depressing.
It was really depressing. And in the end, what I struggled with the most, Tyler, watching his 30 for 30, you got to be a good father if you're going to have kids. You got to be a good dad. And he definitely was not a good dad. And that's, I left it thinking, I get it. You got psychological problems. You got issues. There's all sorts of things going on. But, dude, you know, he was such a negligent father.
I know.
If we're just sticking to the basketball stuff, but when it just came to, I couldn't believe, he just ignored his kids.
There's always deeper levels of what went into causing that, and certainly never excusable. But I just think the entire character is a fascinating case study on life to one degree, you know?
I mean, the crazy part was when he was in college, he was best friends with, a 12-year-old kid. He was just hanging out at this, 12-year-old kid's house.
I know.
And he was really part of their family. And then I thought, oh, this is going to be a heartwarming thing. And then he kind of just later in life just kind of ditched the family. Then he never saw him again or something. It was beyond odd.
Random hard pivot back to Larry Bird here. Yeah. But was Larry Bird the first superstar athlete to really take over an organization and put in retirement?
Oh, man.
He's the first one I can think of.
What? God, think about that one. Well, Jerry West, I think, basically took over the Lakers.
Okay, for sure.
I got to think about that. You know, took over the president of the team.
Right.
Jeez, was Larry Bird ever the president of the
Celtics? For the Pacers, right?
For the Pacers, yeah. You know, I think Jerry West may have had that role with the Lakers. Gosh, I'm trying to think of somebody else. Yeah, it's unusual. Well, it doesn't happen all that often.
And then Magic ends up doing it years after Larry did it. But
yeah, Magic didn't even care.
No,
he didn't know what was going on. He just kind of quit too.
Yeah, he told his boss he quit in a presser.
this is too hard.
All right, guys,
I'm out of here.
Jeannie, I really appreciate everything. I quit.
So this is another one of those dates where you think, oh man, wow, that was awesome. And you said we're missing out on that, right? That moment does not exist this particular year. And
right.
But I'm optimistic, Tyler, that we'll get back to it. We'll get back to all of it.
Oh, it's going to come in time for sure.
It's just I see these look backs and I think they're cool. And they bum me out at the same time. You know, it's because, how much are we all missing sports right now? How much are you missing sports right now?
Big time, man. Big time. Yeah, I don't even know what to watch. I've run out of Netflix stuff.
Wait, hold on.
No, I didn't. I started it.
Okay.
What Tiger King? What's it called? What's
Tiger
wrong with
King?
Me? Yeah, Tiger King. Unbelievably fascinating.
Okay.
I'm all in. I am all in.
And I said, if I said, give it, 5 or 10 minutes?
I was in the first 2 minutes. Yeah.
All right. I can't wait till you're done. We are going to do some breakdowns of Tiger King.
Oh, I'm in. Yes, this one I will not back out of. I promise you. I'll probably have it done by I don't know, definitely over the weekend. It'll be over.
Okay. Well, I look forward to next week just going into Joe Exotic, and it's not just him. It's a cast of characters. You forget, as there's so many things in there, you kind of forget because it's one just absolutely insane thing after another, but
no.
We'll save it for next week. All right, earlier we spoke with James Merrillat of 1043thefan.com and caught up with, James's unique perspective next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, earlier we spoke with James Merrillat of 1043thefan.com and caught up with, James's unique perspective. The Corin tourney has come to the final in terms of best baseball movie. So this is a fun thing we have going at 1043thefan.com. It'll be this and other types of tournaments as time goes on here. James, first of all, how are you, my friend?
James is not here, D-back.
Oh, he's not there. Oh, sorry. My bad.
No, he might be.
James, okay. My man. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So in terms of the Corin tourney for best baseball movie, We are at the finals, and the two movies that have, it has come down to is The Sandlot against Major League, which are like both. I know this is a terrible mistake.
This is just a feel-good moment.
Because both of these are Tyler's two favorite baseball movies. I cannot believe that it has come down to these two movies.
I certainly can. Anytime we turn it over to, you know, the masses to vote, you never know how it's going to turn out. But look, I thought of this after I was on with you guys last week, and you beat me up for my selections on baseball movies. Major League is one of those movies I like. Every time it's on, I stop and I'm going to watch it to the end.
So you're a good man, James.
That one I'm fine with. Sandlot's pretty overrated to me. I'm not a big fan.
That's James. That's exactly what I
said. Why don't you and
so overrated. It's not
you
very.
You and D-Mac go hang out at Haterville.
It's got a couple of funny lines, and You're Killing Me Smalls has a funny T-shirt. But aside from that,
you play ball like a. Never mind.
It's not that strong of a story. It loses my interest. I get bored watching it. What's the story? Where are we going with The Sandlot? What's the deal? To find out, you know, the dude with the bad dog? Like, we find out he's a nice guy? That's it?
No, it's the underdog. The underdog can beat the big dog, you know? Man.
I will tell you this, though. From the 16 movies that were in there, my recommendation, and we're all stuck at home and, you know, going through Netflix, there's a movie.
Right.
Oh my gosh, the Kurt Russell's dad and you know, late 70s and the way the sports world was up in Portland.
Right.
Highly recommend that to anybody. It's worth the hour and a half of your time. It's fantastic.
That movie is better, 1,000 times better in terms of a baseball movie than The Sandlot or Major League.
Yeah, but nobody would know because nobody's heard of it.
Well, it's a documentary, so it's you know, it's not like a movie. But I mean, hey, man, I don't know. Like, Moneyball to me is a baseball movie, and that movie's freaking unreal. I think it's incredible. So Bad News Bears to me is a unbelievable baseball movie. The original Bad News Bears.
Yep.
So it comes down to The Sandlot. So I'm going to vote for, because I think The Sandlot's so overrated, so I'm voting for Major League, but...
D-Mac never had any friends to play baseball with when he was growing up. It's really what it comes down to. James, did you toss the ball around today on opening day?
We haven't yet, but, you know, still time to squeeze that in. It's nice out now. The sun's out. So, you know, me and the kids can get that in. They're kind of in basketball mode at the moment. So we haven't – it seems too early for opening day. It's March 26th. It doesn't feel like baseball season to me yet. But
well, it's not. So you're good on that front. It's not.
True. But yeah, man, listen, I heard Patrick Saunders on earlier and he was telling all the, you know, his favorite memories from opening day. And I was there in 93 when EY hit the home run, and just thinking about all those stories and it just makes you really miss it. I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. I'm hearing all these stories and it's kind of depressing. It made me long for, baseball. So hopefully we all get back to that soon. And those are the kind of memories we're enjoying and talking about.
All right. You know, we're talking about. What change would you like to see happen if we're just talking about baseball right here? If you could make one change in baseball, what would it be?
Wow. Well, I hate the DH, so that's probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
You hate
but
the
I don't...
DH?
Yes.
You want to see...
American League games, they take 4 hours. We have to watch the Yankees and the Red Sox every Sunday night on ESPN, and the game takes 4 hours and 12 minutes. It drives me nuts.
So you
what does the DH have to do with that? What do you mean?
On. Wait, I'm losing my brains here. So you'd rather just see pitchers strike out? You think that would be more interesting?
I like the strategy where the manager has to think about. Well, am I gonna send Freeland back out for the seventh, or pull him here for a pinch hitter? I like that. I like making the skipper think a little bit. I mean, anybody could manage in the American League. You fill out your card and you put your feet up and you have a beer or nothing to do.
James, you're in America. People like runs. People like points. People like
They don't like they don't like 4 hour sporting events though. So the DH
that's your I cannot believe
that has
I
nothing
set you
to do with
this.
The time.
This listen, I set you up an intelligent person, James Marilat, with some sort of
you guys aren't that intelligent. You don't like The Sandlot
and the best that you could come up with is the stupidest rule that exists in all of pro sports, and you want more of the dumbest rule in all of pro sports.
Yes, yes. I prefer National League Baseball. It's, you know, that's
wow.
The game I watch all the time. I prefer it. You know, the season's too long. I don't like having games in November, but look, I don't think they're going to do anything about that.
How do you shorten the games? How do you shorten the games? That's the real beef, right? So how do you shorten it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do like some of the ideas they've come up with, pitching changes. It drives me nuts to be at the game, and it's just guy after guy after guy coming in to face one pitcher.
Correct.
And, you know, the righty-lefty matchups and all that, or one hitter, that stuff drives me crazy. So
yeah.
The rule they were going to start it this year with three batters. Like,
yep.
Okay, cool. I like that. If you're going to come in, you got to be able to face three batters. Those kind of things I like, because that absolutely drives me nuts. Patrick was talking about, you know, too low adjusting his gloves 12 times at every at-bat. I'm with him on that. But you know what? I think I'm in the minority for the most part, guys. I like baseball as it is. I very rarely go down to Coors Field and think, man, I really wish I would have been here for 30 minutes less. Like, I enjoy my time there. Being at the ballpark, the game, it's about the right length to me. I think it's kind of one of those things where it's trendy to bash baseball, and it's all, we got to, you know, modernize it. I like the game kind of as it is, so I guess that's probably why I have a hard time coming up with things I'd change. It's the game I grew up watching and playing and liking, and I'm fine keeping it that way.
All right, what's new and cool on 1043thefan.com? I'm sure it's been an interesting challenge for you and Kendall and Cecil and Johnny, but what's cook? I like the corn tourney. I mean, we're definitely talking about it, even though it's,
yeah,
you know, didn't work out my way, but, you know.
We'll have a new one rolling out next week. So, you know, another topic. I'm not sure what Johnny Hart's got on tap, but hopefully it's as engaging and as good as baseball movies. Still doing draft previews. So, you know, this sounds like it would be boring. Like, yesterday was centers, today was guards. But when you look at the Broncos, it's like, okay, well, who's going to be their center? And if they put Glasgow there, well, then who's going to be their right guard? It's actually been, you know, kind of interesting to go through the prospects out there. So we're continuing to do draft previews. Working on a little project that I don't want to give away too much with you guys that,
yes,
you know, could kind of work with some of the high school kids out there. So
yeah, that'll be cool.
A lot going on, a lot of cool things we're doing. You know, we'll be going behind the scenes, kind of showing what hosts on the station do to, you know, fill their day while they're quarantined. So got to get creative, but it'll be fun.
All right, James, we appreciate it. James Barilat, nothing better than my main James Barilat. You can catch him at 1043thefan.com. Okay, coming up next, Cecil Lammy, Nick Ferguson. Hang on.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.